This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Open your Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, and I want to look at just a few verses here. The book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. The book of Galatians, chapter 5. I want to express to us that I believe that there's a war going on. And I think there's a battle, somewhat a war, a conflict, if you would, going on the inside of us, somewhat between the spirit and the flesh, the spirit and the law. There's a battle going on the inside. And depends on which one you feed, the one that will win. I'm sorry. It may not be going on inside of you. There's a war going on inside of me. And maybe I projected onto you there's a war going on inside of you. But there's a war going on inside of me today. And sometimes it seems as though the flesh is winning. Sometimes it's as though the spirit is winning. And maybe I need to stop for station identification purposes and see whether or not this war is going on with anybody else in this room. Raise your hand if you feel this war going on from time to time in your body. Yes, yes, so I'm not the only one. You see, when I went to bed last night, this war was raging. In my dream world, this war was still waging. When I woke up this morning, I thought the war would be done, but it was still going on. Even as I stand here right now, the war is still raging. And here's what the Bible says. This is the only cure that I found for this war that's raging on the inside. Paul says, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What he tells us to do for this war that's going on the inside of us is to walk in the spirit. And I want to say that's easier said than done. Walk in the spirit. It's a present imperative. It's a command, not a suggestion. Walk in the spirit. And then you see one of the strongest no's that follows. And you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's almost as if the more you walk in the spirit, the more the flesh isn't a temptation anymore. The more you walk in the spirit, the more you leave this idea of the flesh behind. So walk in the spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then verse 17 says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit. For those of you that have the ESV version, it gratifies. There's a desire there in the NIV. For the flesh desires against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. And verse 17 is not presenting it as if it's a war. It's presenting as like two different entities that's living inside the same person. On one sense, you have the flesh, and on the other sense, you have the spirit. You have the flesh that's lusting after the spirit, and the spirit that's going against the flesh. And because you have both going on at the same time, the end clause there says, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Lord have mercy. I know that's right. Because there's sometimes in my life that I really, really want to do some good things. And because there's these two entities, this conflict, this war that's raging on the inside of me, I don't know whether or not I'm going or coming. Sometimes even my good stuff is tainted, laced with bad motives. Even sometimes when I think I'm walking in the spirit, I'm still fulfilling the lust of the flesh. That's why I have to keep going back to that command that's in verse 16. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And you know, sometimes I'm tempted to run in the Spirit. I want to get my run on in the Spirit. Or even jog in the Spirit. I think if I can learn how to run and jog in the Spirit, I'll be a super Christian then. If I run in the Spirit, jog in the Spirit. But you know what? That's not what the text calls me to do. It didn't ask me to run in the Spirit or jog in the Spirit. It said walk. But because the idea is there should be consistent, daily, moment-by-moment progress with the believer simply walking by, being led by the Spirit. Sometimes that's not fast enough for me. I want to speed up the process. And he says, no, Andre, the only thing I require of you, just walk with me. You know, folks, I don't know if I want him to walk with me sometime. Because if he walks with me long enough, he'll see some of my bad behavior. And I don't know if I want the Spirit to go everywhere that my mind goes at times. So that you do not do the things that you wish. You know, at first glimpse, it sounds like this is the same text that we see in Romans chapter 7. But there's a different kind of idea here, because in Galatians, Paul is trying to tell us that we're not law keepers anymore. And in Romans chapter 7, we're under the law. So in Romans chapter 7, verse 13 through 24, the great opponent against the flesh there is the reborn person. But here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18, our major opponent is that of the Holy Spirit. We should walk consistently with the Holy Spirit. The condition of the believer is that sometimes we're under law, sometimes we're under grace. But in Romans, we're consistently under the law. The result of the conflict here in Galatians, sometimes we're under defeat and sometimes there's victory. But in Romans, there's always defeat. Because one of the things I want to do, evil is forever present. It's right here. Matter of fact, the nature of the conflict is even different. In Galatians chapter 5, especially verses 16 through 23, it's the normal Christian experience. But in Romans chapter 7, verse 13 through 24, it's the abnormal Christian experience. Brothers and sisters, walk in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Let the Spirit guide you, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, next Friday, a lot of us get to go home. Praise the Lord. Amen. Classes will be over. Tests will be done. Final papers will be wrapped up. Ready or not, here we come. Some of us will have jobs that we will go to. Some of us internships. Some of us, we have no ship to go to, but we're going to get out of here next Friday. We're going somewhere. We won't be at the CIU bubble for the summer. We'll be able to take off. But there's a temptation. Now that I'm not under the law, I mean under the rules here at CIU, how shall I live? And the question on the floor is, will you walk by the Spirit? Will you be led by the Spirit? Or will you give in to the works of the flesh? Because brothers and sisters, anytime you give in to the works of the flesh, you walk on the edge of an abyss. And it doesn't take much for you to fall in. Be careful with those temptations that I'm away now, I'm free. Because all freedom isn't that cool. Even you go back into verse 13 here in chapter 5, it says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh." You don't use your liberty as an opportunity to get your flesh on. "For through love, serve one another." So where are we going with this? Look at verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. He says you're led by the Spirit. You're not under the law. Thank God for grace. For if you're led, this is a first class conditional clause here in the Greek. If you are, it better be best translated like this. Since you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. For those believers who know that you're led by the Spirit of God, you don't have to worry about the law, nor the defeat that comes with the law, nor the death that comes with the law, nor the disappointment, nor any of those other things that come with just holding on to the law. So you have a choice to make. On this hand, you have the works of the flesh. And on this hand, you have life in the Spirit. This hand, you have works of the flesh. And on this hand, you have life in the Spirit. What does it look like when one has the works of the flesh? Well, according to verse 19, it looks this way. Adultery. That's a nasty word to use in chapel. Fornication. It says uncleanliness, lewdness. The first things it talks about here are sexual sins. When you walk in the flesh, you open yourself up to sexual sins. And secondly, you open yourself up to societal sins, that idolatry, that witchcraft kind of idea. In verse 20, that sorcery. Then you move on to the societal, which is found in verse 20 and 21, which goes on to talk about hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath or anger, selfishness, ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders. The list goes on and on. Then it talks about intemperate sins such as drunkenness. And then it talks about all those other sins that he didn't list because it's not an exhaustive list. And all of those that are like. And then the thing that kind of gets me about verse 21 is this. And if Paul is writing a warning in his first epistle, this is the strongest warning that I've seen in Scripture. He says, just like I've told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What a strong warning. That those who practice these works of the flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now somebody said, what does that mean? Does that mean they lose their salvation? What does that mean? Were they ever saved? What does this mean? They should not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, here's my best answer. I don't know, but I wouldn't play with it if I were you. I'm going to say amen to myself right there. I wouldn't get in the habit of practicing these things that cause me to walk in the works of the flesh. Because when I walk in the works of the flesh, the kingdom of God is not a promise to me. The kingdom of God is not in view. Matter of fact, I'm walking in the kingdom of darkness. And if I walk in the kingdom of darkness, there's no promise of the marvelous light. It's time for me to have a little application. Can I have a little application with this crowd? How are you living today? Do you live by the works of the flesh? Do you live to please your flesh? Or are you trying to have life in the Spirit, walk by the Spirit of God? You know, has anybody ever been to the gym and had a good workout? And you work out and you're sweaty. And at the end of the workout, you go into the sauna. as 110, 115, 118 degrees, sweat popping off everywhere. You're weak because it's hot. I mean, just sweat everywhere, and you're in there for about 5 or 10 minutes, and you feel like you just can't make it a second longer, and you're muscling up enough energy and oxygen to get to the door, and you press the door open, and the coolness of the air just comes in and rescues you from this heat and fire of the room. Anybody ever been there before? That's how this text is for us today. Because when you have the works of the flesh, man, it's hot as hell on one side. But when you have life in the spirit, when you get to verse 22, there's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Wait a minute. Over here, this person that walks, that has the works of the flesh, won't inherit the kingdom of God. But over here, for this person who has life in the spirit, who walks in the spirit, who's led by the spirit of God, against such things, there is no law. Their qualities are upward. There's a love in them. There's joy. There's peace. According to our text, when it comes to their relationships, there's patience, there's long-suffering, there's kindness, there's goodness. When it comes to how they operate, there's faithfulness, there's gentleness, and there's self-control. There it is. When one walks in the Spirit consistently, day by day, you have the fruit of the Spirit. I know someone says, that's a lofty list. I don't have all of that operating in me right now. But I think moment by moment as we walk with the Spirit, more aspects of this fruit shows up in our lives. That love, that joy, that peace, that long suffering. I was sharing about this one night, and my youngest daughter says, I'm not patient with people, Dad. I don't know if I'm on that list yet. I said, just keep on living. Patience will show up. Goodness will show up. Gentleness will show up. You know, if I pick some fruit from your tree today, what kind of fruit would we pick? Could we pick some love, some joy, some patience? Excuse me, we're in finals week right now. We're heading towards finals week. I have no joy, no fruit, no nothing left. Check with me the week after school is out, and maybe I will pick up some fruit then. And I want to tell you, if you have to wait that long, that may be cheap fruit. Because if you have to wait to get out of the frying pan to get some fruit, that may be fruit that's a little cheap. Because life will always have difficulties and obstacles. And you need to learn how to develop the fruit right now. Allow the Holy Spirit to work through you right now. Allow your life to be led and allow your steps to be guided by the Holy Spirit right now, in the midst of finals, in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of stressors, so that when things seemingly becomes a little lighter, you're already there. You're already walking in the Spirit. But in the future, when things become difficult, you already have a love relationship. You already have your walk right. Someone came to see me last week, and they told me that they're spiritually dry right now. They felt like a zombie going to class. And I asked them a question. I said, well, how was your quiet time with the Lord? And they said, I haven't been doing my quiet time. You know how it is. I'm busy. I said, wait a minute. Let's stop right there. How is it? I'm too busy to get my quiet time right now. I say, you're too busy not to have a quiet time right now. You're too busy not to walk in the Spirit right now. And they said, no, you don't understand. I'm too tired. I have too much going on. I said, yeah, that's why you really need a quiet time, because you open yourself up to so much temptation. You open yourself up to so much going on if you don't walk with the Lord when life gets difficulty. And I say, you know what? He'll help you with your schoolwork if you'll just walk with him. He'll give you strength to endure. He'll be able to help you recall things you didn't think you could recall on your own if you just walk with him and talk with him. So here's my strong encouragement to you all. We got some difficult days ahead. We have some tests we have to take. We have papers that we have to write. We have professors that we don't want to see anymore after this semester's over. Amen. Well, not amen, but praise the Lord. But anyway. So what do you want us to do until so we can endure to the end? I want you to walk in the Spirit, because there's a war raging on the inside. And if you're not careful, when you get this busy, the devil can set up camp in your life. And what he can do, he can cause you to operate in the flesh. And if he can ever cause you to operate in the flesh, he can cause you not to have victory in the Spirit. And if he can ever get you there, he knows in the future, if he can just keep you busy, he can keep you from walking with God. And if he can keep you from walking with God, you'll be a powerless Christian for the rest of your life. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Lord Jesus, help us as a family to walk with you. Even in difficult times, when we feel like we're at the end of semester and we feel like throwing in the towel, maybe for some of us, this has been the most difficult semester of our season here at CIU. And maybe we're tempted, Father, to stop walking with you altogether. And I pray today, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would help that person walk with you, God, a little closer. I pray for that staff person who's tired, for that faculty member that's tired, for that administrator who's sick and tired of just being sick and tired, to walk with you. Lord, we're busy, and sometimes in our busyness, the morale can become low. But the Spirit is always alive and available and willing to walk with us. And for some of us, we're wondering, can we have more of the Spirit so we can have revival? And the Spirit stands waiting here today saying, can I have more of you? Can I walk with you? Can I help you carry your burdens? And at the end of the day, if you walk with me, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And Lord, we believe the promise of your word, and we'll trust you to that end. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.